This is KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio. I'm Father Ian Dellinger, and I'm playing with food.
Yeah. So where are we now?
So right now we are at the Inspiration Point Trailhead, which is part of the Romero Trail system at the entry to the Los Padres National Forest. It's right at the end of Tunnel Road, which is at the end of Mission Canyon Road.
Yeast, it's all around us. During this pandemic, home bakers are having trouble finding yeast in the stores. One of the perks of living on the Central Coast is that we have unfettered access to unprocessed fresh produce. So why not use fresh, unprocessed yeast? It's easy. You just put a jar of flour, water, and sugar outside with cheesecloth over the top, and voila, you've captured some yeast. Okay, so it's not quite that easy. Two popular uses of yeast are for beer making and bread making. Playing with Food went on a hunt for local wild yeast and has produced a segment on each of those uses, a 5-month, 1,800-mile journey with my now good buddy, Chip Nasser from Night Lizard Brewing Company in Santa Barbara. This one is about making bread with wild yeast, specifically wild yeast captured near Poison Oak, which is how this segment got its name. And here's how we did it.
What we're actually doing is trying to capture the yeast that comes off the fruit and just floats around in the air.
Yep, or sometimes it's attached to bees. Bees are like one of the number one transporters of yeast.
Like they say with sourdough bread, if you want to start your own sourdough starter that is from your own environment rather than getting it from somebody else who's had it from all over the world, you kind of do the same thing. You take a bowl of water and flour and put cheesecloth over it and put it outside, right?
Exactly. Yeah, we're doing the exact same thing, and we have basically liquidized flour in our jars. That's what wort is, because we've taken all of the sugar out of mashed up grain. We basically just have liquid flour and sugar in water, and that's it.
You said 24 hours.
24 hours. Yep, I'll be back tomorrow morning to pick all these jars up.
Good?
Yeah, I bet. I'm like surrounded by poison oak.
Sorry about that.
No.
Oh, I'm right next to it as well.
Yeah, it's tricky this time of year.
Yeah. Yeah.
One more.
I almost walked right into it. I didn't, though, I don't think.
It's, well, there's so many, like, leaves of it on the ground, too.
Yeah. What kind of yeast does poison oak give you?
We've never sampled the poison oak areas. This will be the most poison oak areas we've ever sampled, but it'd be interesting in the spring to do it because they do flower like crazy. So we know what avocados give you. Avocados give you some pretty funky saison style yeast. Not too fruity or anything like that, just a real Belgian-y, but we've done a lot of avocado orchards. I just want this oak tree. Yeah, I'm like kind of modifying my sampling a little bit based on the poison oak. Like I would.
Right next to your right elbow.
Yeah, poison oak here and poison oak there. Well, this will be the poison oak sample. We'll do it. that's right in the poison oak jungle. That's it. That's the entire putting out of the sample process. You know, it doesn't take long at all.
So we're hiking out.
We're hiking out. Yeah, luckily it's all downhill on the way out.
During my second or third visit to the brewery to check on the yeast and its propagation before using it to make beer, the subject of using wild yeast for bread came up again.
Yeast is used to make beer, but yeast is also used to make bread. Is it possible to take any of that yeast and make bread?
Most definitely. You can even use bread to make beer. There's old Ethiopian styles of beer that were just old loaves and kind of the butt of the loaf thrown into water, and just the yeast that was naturally in that bread helped to facilitate some fermentation, and it made, not by any means a high alcohol brew, but it made a little bit of a brew, and that bread beer was one of the first beers in the world. Yeah, it's been around for the ages. They're almost interchangeable, I would say, bread and beer.
So my question in terms of can you make bread out of it now, should we do a side-by-side experiment?
Like with sourdough or something?
Yeah, can you send me home with some of that and you make beer and I make bread and we try the bread and the beer at the same time?
Yeah. I would say for safety, maybe a sample out of the next round of it, the 3-liter culture, just to make sure that there's nothing funky or anything like that that's growing in there, even for the bread side of things, because you don't want anything funky growing in your bread loaf.
That'd be interesting. Yeah. We die from eating bread. Even though it's on its way to being made into beer, the yeast can still be harvested in order to make bread.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Okay. And I'll decant all of the liquid off of the top, so I just have this powdery slurry left at the bottom before I pitch it in, and that's what I would fill you up like a little 50 mil conical of just that powder.
Okay.
And then you put that right into your dough and let it leaven and everything like that, and that would be the pure yeast. That way you're getting a little bit of like sugar and malt sugar and stuff like that, so it's not really great to, I mean, it could make a nice, you know, rye loaf or something like that, but if you're making sourdough or something like that, I don't think you want all the random sugars and stuff that are in there.
Okay, so we'll do that.
Yeah.
And then when your beer is ready, like the day before I'm coming down to taste the beer,
yeah,
I'll make a loaf of bread.
That'd be awesome.
How long will the yeast last if I put it in the fridge?
Months.
Okay,
months.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
3 months or so.
Right, right.
I have a strain that is cultured and refrigerated in here that is also a wild yeast from our first round of it. I could give you that right now.
That I can practice. That.
Yeah.
Okay. I can do that. I can practice.
Cool.
Oh, you're just going to give that to me?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have plenty of it just in case you need more?
Yeah, that's actually our yeast strain that we sent to Imperial Organics, and they ran the whole strain through PCR tests and DNA analysis. They found that we have like a novel strain that we captured out here in the Santa Barbara Hills. So
that's great.
They grew it up for us, propagated it, and now we're going to buy a pitch from them that has been all cleaned in the lab and everything like that. I mean, I'm doing kind of, you know, backwoods bootleg biology here. I'm sanitary and stuff like that, and I have the laboratory or the good manufacturing processes from my time at Amgen in biotech, but I don't have nearly the labs that they have up there. Just kind of taking it to the next level. Once we knew we had something that was good and made a good beer, we wanted to make it even better. So they really cleaned it up for us quite a bit.
This is KCBX Central Coast Public Radio, and you're listening to Playing with Food on Issues and Ideas with me, Father Ian. I used Night Lizard's first yeast to test my bread-making skills and to be ready to make bread with the poison oak yeast when it was ready. My bread turned out flat and funky. I took it to Chip anyway, who tasted it and described it like this.
I liked it, though. The flavor was there, for sure. Yeah,
it
definitely was flavorful, and there wasn't any, like, crazy grains in there or anything like that. It was just...
No, it was a regular commercial bread flour, and then there was a quarter of it was whole wheat flour that was grown locally.
Oh, okay.
I haven't had any issues with it before. And it was really wet. So I don't know if that might...
Like the dough was really
wet? The dough was really wet.
Okay.
I'm not a master bread maker.
Yeah, well, it was good.
But you're a master brewer, so...
I don't know if I have that title yet. I don't know. Yeah, I'm...
We tasted the bread. What are you going to do with the bread? I'm going to leave the bread with you.
Yeah.
You can put butter on it. You can make it your toast. You can use it as a doorstop. Or...
So our current plan, I think, for it is to crumble it up and do a little 3-gallon beer with it. Actually put some yeast on top of the bread, crumble it up, a little bit of water, and see if we can make like an old world style beer. See how it works, and probably be ready about the same time you come back, so we can bring you some of that too.
But you'll have to add yeast? You can't just do it from...
Yeah, okay. Just because you baked it, all the yeast is killed. So we'll just add another little slug of our wild yeast that we propped off of right there, and see how it does. Yeah.
That's fantastic.
So the yeast became bread, and the bread became the grain, so to speak, for beer. The yeast that Chip and I hunted down did turn out to be viable.
And this is this is your poison oak yeast, right?
It is, yeah. The yeast from the poison oak bush. It was when I was least excited about going and retrieving, but of course, the irony that it's this thing I'm most allergic to, too, I think, on the planet is poison oak, and it's got the best yeast. And I was sure those tuberosa bushes would be the spot with all of the flower and bee activity. The more I'm thinking about it, if I might not be able to give you, I just want to have like enough yeast to make sure the beer ferments all the way. I might not have enough to give you bread yeast.
That's the most important, is that you're able to do your job.
Yeah. Well, let's just do that then. So okay. we'll make the beer, and then I'll even get you some more yeast off of the beer that we make for the bread making.
Okay.
And then we can try it again. I'll get you a big volume, a big jar of it this time, so you don't have to worry about propping up your own yeast or anything like that.
So it was time to finally make a nice loaf of bread with the locally sourced wild yeast, a test loaf, and then the real thing.
The yeast I've taken out of the can. It smells very beer-like. And it's got a sweet tone to it. Yeah, it smells like sweet beer. Here I am in my kitchen attempting to make bread with this yeast that we found next to the poison oak plant. I'm using my regular recipe, And I opened the can of yeast that Chip gave me, and there was a lot of effervescence. So I'm going to take a chance here. I'm going to use a cup and a half of the yeast liquid directly into my recipe, and then the remaining cup, I'm going to see if yeast settles out to the bottom and decant off the liquid. And I'm doing that because it was so effervescent that there is some growth there. I genuinely don't know what I'm doing, so we'll just see how it goes. So I'm going to use my yeast as my water and yeast already, so I'm not going to add any more liquid. I'm going to use some sugar to keep that yeast going, flour, salt, and oil. And then I've rigged up something at church where I can keep it warm. In the kitchen at church, we have a flat top. The pilot light on the flat top keeps it warm. And so I'm going to put my bowl on top of a plate in order to keep it directly off of the flat top. And then I'm going to put a mixing bowl, a large mixing bowl, over my bowl of bread dough so it has this warm environment in which to raise, taking hours or days or weeks, however long, and we'll see how that works. I now have a smooth, soft ball of dough, and I'm going to put it in a bowl, and then I'm going to put it in my controlled heat environment on the flat top in the church kitchen. I'm here in the St. Stephen's kitchen, and I'm about ready to lift up the lid on my second rise of the bread. Oh, okay, it's flat like I thought it was gonna be, but it has risen. It seems to me that the environment was too warm, but Chip said the yeast needs a warm environment, so I did what he told me to do. It smells lovely, like freshly baked bread, and my bread is about ready to come out of the oven. There's kind of this sharp smell to it that I'm not quite sure what it is. It might be the poison oak. When we taste it, we'll find out. I've got my bread at home now. It's much fluffier than the bread that I made last time with the other strand of yeast. It's not really raised really high. It actually has a nice crust on it. It's a lovely, lovely taste of bread. This was pure white, unbleached bread flour, olive oil, salt, and yeast. And so the flavor that's coming through is definitely from the yeast. It tastes like bread made from beer. It's really nice. I'm going to have it with my soup. So I'm going to make two different loaves of bread here. I took the undecanted yeast straight from the can that Chip gave me and created a sourdough starter. And I'm going to use that to make one loaf of bread. And then I'm going to use the decanted yeast, which is going to be more concentrated, and use about a tablespoon of that to make a different loaf of bread and see how they differ. Because this yeast seems to be very active, the biga doubled and quadrupled in size overnight in my cold kitchen, I'm going to slow ferment this dough and put it in the refrigerator. Both doughs have turned out really, really well, and I'm really happy. Both turned out really well. I did a slow proofing in the refrigerator. They kind of had to come in and out back and forth in order to get them at the same point at the same time. And it's been not quite 48 hours, about 40 hours. And I'm going to punch them down and I'm going to knead them again, shape one of them into two loaves, shape another one into a boule, and put them in the fridge for another slow rise before I bake them right before I go down to see Chip. I've woken up on the day that I'm going to go down and take this bread to Chip, and the bread has overproofed a little bit. But I'm gonna put it in the oven and bake it just as it is. We're gonna put it in the oven at a really high temperature to begin with for 10 minutes and then bring that temperature down to bake it fully. This is KCBX Central Coast Public Radio, and we're playing with poison oak on Issues and Ideas with me, Father Ian. And the results? Back to Santa Barbara for the 7th time to taste my bread and beer made from my previous bread, all stemming from the yeast that Chip and I captured 5 months earlier among a bunch of poison oak. So here we are in front of our poison oak bread and beer, the yeast we found by the poison oak. It's been a long process. We started in September and it's now January. I've taken the yeast that you gave me and made 3 different loaves of bread.
But tell me about the beer first.
The beer was really, really easy. We used that loaf that you brought in last time that was pretty much like a rock. We froze it first to make sure there was nothing living inside of the loaf itself, killed everything out, really deep froze it, crumbled it up into a powder, and then I boiled it just like you would use a mash, not super, super hot. Fermented it with our poison oak yeast, just as I would make a normal beer. It was a lot chunkier and more viscous than normal beer was, but it just fermented out just like any other beer would. It does taste a lot like more of a, like an Abbey Belgian fruit forward type style to me, and that's why I was saying it's pretty unique. Aren't many beers that taste like this, that's for sure.
And what do you attribute that to?
I'd say it's a combination of doing something really, really weird and then using a yeast that nobody has, made something that's super unique.
This is what I did. You gave me a can full of yeast and liquid. So this one here, this half loaf that's not very tall, is made straight from the can. It did some funky things. I had to do this MacGyver thing with the stove top at church. Yep. And it took 2 days for the first proof, like 110 degrees. And then I did another 36 to 40 hours.
Then you're saying you pretty much just used the liquid at the top out of that one for this one?
Yeah.
Okay, and that's most likely where the most active beer yeast is in that liquid layer, actually, and the solid parts are where the yeast is starting to die and kind of fall out of solution.
Oh.
So that's interesting. I'm wondering if the fact that the yeast was dying or getting itself ready for hibernation and you use that yeast, if you kind of molded our wild yeast to be a bread maker by then starting that off, as opposed to me having it more set to be a beer maker in that liquid slurry.
Right.
So, and you said it really dissolved the, ate up it all, almost to like a sourdough. Yeah. Liquid. So I'm wondering, that obviously had no problem eating up those starches and sugars. So that's interesting.
This one is sort of like a sourdough starter. I took a little bit of the yeast
from the original splash.
And I put it with some flour and some sugar, let it sit overnight. It was very, very super active.
Cool.
And then I took all of that and put it into my bread recipe with a bit of extra liquid.
Nice.
And then this round loaf is fully decanted yeast. Took a tablespoon of it.
Oh, wow.
Yep, just a tablespoon.
Yeah.
And made that.
Wow.
And these two, I did a day and a half each for them to rise. So which should we try first, the beer or the bread?
Let's do the beer first.
Okay, this is the beer first. Just... yeah, it's heavy.
It is.
It's a winter beer.
Definitely, yeah. Dark in color, a lot of like date, raisin, Belgian-y fruit flavor.
It's not bad.
No. No, it's not necessarily something I would go to and say, give me a bottle of this.
How
it's
many people have tried it?
Just you, me, and Clay so far. That's
okay.
It, yeah.
So should we try the bread?
Mm-hmm.
So this is the one made from just the decanted.
Just right out of the yeast slurry, straight into a
bread. Right out of the yeast slurry, yep. Here you go. Try that.
It tastes a lot to me like a squaw bread or like a bread made with whole grain flour, like a darker, like almost pumpernickel-y.
Yeah.
Bread. Yeah.
Or maybe even have like molasses in it or
yeah.
something like that. And yeah. it doesn't. It's white bread flour, basic white loaf recipe.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's really dark in color for that, for being.
This is the one that was sort of like sourdough starter.
They look like bread. This one especially, it has more of the air pockets in it than that other one.
Yeah, it has air.
Yep. Oh, wow. That one has way more bread texture. Like it feels like bread on my mouth. Yeah.
See? Hey, Clay, do you want to try any of the bread?
Which bread are you having here? This one?
Yep. Well, there's a couple of different ones, yep.
Yeah.
And this all is made with our yeast.
Serious?
Yeah.
It's all poison oak yeast. There we go. Okay.
And all the same recipe, basically, for the base ingredients for the bread.
That's really cool. Good.
Yeah. Oh, Dad, try that other one compared to that one as far as
they're
the same yeast, same recipe, even just different baking technique.
Same grain?
For even. Yeah.
Yep.
But they're like way different. Wow, that looks really good. Yeah, I'd buy that one.
I'd buy this.
Yeah.
Here is the one that was made with fully decanted yeast.
And that's crazy
recipe.
That it was just a tablespoon of the original slurry caused this much.
Not the original slurry, the decanted slurry.
Decanted slurry, so of your sourdough culture. Oh, wow. That's really good.
It is
Man.
Good. It tastes like a real loaf of bread.
Yeah, that's really, really good. Man. Hey, Claire, are you back there? You gotta try this bread.
It was a very unique journey with very unique results. Using wild yeast from a poison oak bush to make bread is something that never, ever popped into my mind before I met Chip. It just goes to show that the Central Coast really is an amazing place for food. And for that, we should all be very thankful. This is KCBX Public Radio for the Central Coast. I'm Father Ian, and I'm playing with food.